Thank you, Lord. So God, when he was preparing salvation for us, saw that it was very difficult. Because on one hand, he desired to forgive us, but on the other hand, he must work in accordance with his nature. Amen? With his own nature. We've sinned, therefore, we must perish. There's no alternative. God, though he wants to save us, he's got to keep his rules. Amen. He's got to keep in line with his nature. He wants to be merciful, but he must judge our sin. He must judge our sin. So, God has to work out a salvation which suits his own righteousness. He must show that his forgiveness in us is perfect. It's not a matter of just overlooking sin. It's got to be a perfect forgiveness, a righteous forgiveness. He must be able to keep his own law as he also, at the same time, forgives us. He's got to keep his own law. You know what this is called? The grace of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You feel like praising the Lord, by all means, praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We'll just have to set a Sabbath day aside and come up here from 8 o'clock in the morning and praise him to 12 o'clock at night. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, my Lord. Thank you, Lord. Grace means that all the laws of God are kept intact at the same time while we are saved. Amen. God will not just save us, but he will save us righteously. He'll save us to the extent to where he himself is totally 100% satisfied. Thank you, Lord. Because God can't do a work that's subject to criticism. He can't do a work where the devil can turn around and judge his nature. There's no one in the world. Or the man who would criticize him and say that, well, he's unjust because he forgave you. And God's nature is righteousness. Yet he forgave you. And he's supposed to condemn sin. No, he did it in such a way that not only does it shut the mouth of man, but it shuts the devil's mouth too. Amen. But the devil can't turn around and condemn God's nature and say that he was unjust because he saved us. Because God's nature is righteous. This is the way that God works. So he himself, likewise, has no more to say about the subject. God. Oh, shut up, Mama Sanda. Praise you, my Jesus. Jesus said, it is finished. Complete. It is good. God declared, it is good. God was satisfied. Amen. When Jesus died upon the cross, God said, it is good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. God has no more to say upon the subject. In other words, it is not justifiable to use unjust acts to do a good deed. In other words, here comes a criminal. He became a criminal because he committed crimes. And he goes before the judge. And the judge looks at him and, well, this man's broken the law. He's worthy of condemnation. But he looks into the man's life and he sees the man has an aged mother left, or he has little children left behind. And out of the compassion of the judge's heart, he wants to forgive this man. But he can't because he's got to keep the law of God. Amen? If he would say, well, I feel so sorry for you, and you're in such pitiful shape. You got all these children left behind, and this aged mother, he says, I'm just going to let you go. Is that right? No. It is not justifiable to use unjust acts to do a good deed. So, it's the same way with God. God will do good justly. He will not do it unjustly. Amen? So how does God accomplish a righteous salvation? I mean, God wanted to save us. Amen? He looked down and saw the pitifulness of man. He says, oh, how I would want to save him, but he cannot go against his nature. Just like up in the most holy place, cherubims would strike down those who didn't go God's way. Amen. So how does he do this? Let me ask you, how does God accomplish a righteous salvation? Through the cross. Amen. Through the cross. If righteousness were not involved, then there would be no need or necessity of the cross. He'd just say, well, you've sinned, I'll overlook it, I'll wink at it, you're forgiven. But no, but because there's great righteousness involved, because of God's great nature, there has to be the cross of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So the cross is God's way of how he pays for us. Amen. God pays for us through the cross. It was like 20 years ago, this preacher was preaching to some Girl Scouts at this camp. And he was talking on the subject of the righteousness of God. And they didn't quite understand what the man was talking about. So he turned to his desk, and there was a vase sitting on the desk. And he said to the principal, he said to the lady principal of the school, using this as an example, he says, ma'am, he said, what happens if school property is damaged? She says, well, if the rules and regulations of this school is that if school property is damaged, there must be a recompense of that error. Someone must pay for it. And if the vase is worth $5 and the little boy come along and he broke it to smithereens and he had no money, then what would the principal do? The love of the principal would be fully manifested if the principal would take out of his own pocket $5 and give it to the boy and say, pay for the vase. That way, the regulations and the laws of that school would be recompensed, would be met. The vase would be paid for. Yet, the love of that principal would be fully satisfied, amen, by the giving of his own money. Praise God. According to the love, the principal, amen, was willing to give his own money to the student for payment. So the love of the principal was fully manifested. In the same way, God took of his own son, Jesus Christ. Because there had to be a price paid for sin. And God wanted to forgive us. But someone had to pay the price of sin. So God took his own son, Jesus Christ, and gave to pay for our sin. Thus, the love of God was fully manifested through Jesus Christ to the giving of his son, and God was well pleased with him. This is the meaning of the cross this morning. This is the meaning of the cross. What's Romans 6:23 say? For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. He that sins must be condemned. That's all there is to it. So God had to provide a way to forgive us righteously. I mean, Jesus Christ paid a price. He paid a tremendous price. Amen. Thank you. So before God granted to us the cross, we would have nothing to say if God decided to punish us because we're worthy of sin. We would have nothing to say if God sent us all that way. Because that's God's nature. Even though he wants to save us, he cannot deny himself, cannot go against his nature. But since the cross, he must forgive and he must accept. Praise him. Turn to Isaiah 53, verse 10 and 11. This lesson may be simple. It's not as deep in one way as some of the other lessons we've taught. But I'm telling you what, you're talking about a victory in your heart and solid ground to stand on in prayer. Because the devil will hit you over the head and accuse you and say, well, you've sinned and God's not going to forgive you. It's not a matter of mercy. Oh, God, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. God, please forgive me. Have mercy on me. It's not a matter of mercy. It's a matter, a legal matter. It's a matter that God paid the price through Jesus Christ, and now he is fully satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus, and he must forgive you. He must forgive you. No alternative. Satisfied to forgive you. Willing to forgive you. Totally happy 100% to forgive you. Woo! That don't make you see sparks. I don't know when, what will. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Totally satisfied to forgive you. No alternative but to forgive you through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ. Read Isaiah 53, 10 and 11 with Holy Ghost boldness, please. Understand the righteousness of God, you can come before his throne with boldness. Amen. Knowing that God is totally satisfied and very happy to forgive you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So like I said before, a lot of Christians think their sins are forgiven just because God has mercy on us and that he's very aware of our helplessness. And this is why he forgives us, but that's not true. He has to deal with the righteousness of God. Of course, he has mercy on us. Amen? He loves us tremendously. It's like the song says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Praise God. But also, the righteousness of God affects our forgiveness. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to Hebrews 4:16. The Bible says we can come before him with boldness. Thank you. Read that out loud.
who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Praise God. Do you feel boldness rising up in your heart this morning? Amen. Do you think that Noah in the ark trembled in fear and said, oh, this ark don't sink to the bottom? The ark that God instructed Noah to build, do you think that he trembled within that ark? Every day looking out saying, oh, Noah, I don't go under. I wonder if this thing's going to hold up. Sons, go check the other door. Go check it out. Standing in the corner of the ark, wondering whether it's going to hold up or not. No! God doesn't do anything carelessly. You think the firstborn of the Israelite, with blood splashed on the doorpost, inside the house trembled and said, oh, I hope the angel of the Lord don't slay me mistakenly tonight. No way. And God doesn't save us carelessly, amen? Praise God, hallelujah. When God saves us, he saves us completely, where he himself is totally satisfied. Praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's raise our hands and thank God for the salvation through the righteousness of God Almighty. Praise you, mighty Jesus. Praise you, mighty Lord. Thank you, Lord, for salvation complete. And you, mighty Lord, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, mighty Lord. Amen. Let's stand up and thank God for the word this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, mighty Lord. Amen. Amen. With every head bowed, amen. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we thank you right now for what you've done on Calvary's cross. God, we appreciate you and we love you, mighty God. Lord, we don't know how to thank you enough. But your work is complete this morning. It is finished and it is good. It satisfies you totally. And right now, with every head bowed, if you don't know Jesus Christ right now as your personal Savior, I want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come up here or anything, but if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please raise your hand. This is the greatest thing that could ever happen to you in your entire life.